And welcome to the club. I can see Curious is with us, so I'm just approving the request to speak. Should be able to see the mute icon momentarily. Curious. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the club.
Hey, man, thanks. Thanks for having me. I don't really do too many Twitter spaces, so happy to be on board.
We are very happy to have you here. Just for anyone who have been listening before on some of our spaces, we normally talk to projects, builders, and all that. Not that you're not a builder, Curious, but people who represent essentially a project launching on Cosmos, building in Cosmos. This is a bit different. This is mainly about you, Curious, and your hot takes, because obviously, being the Cosmos Club, we follow Cosmos news, what's happening in the ecosystem, and we must say we love some of the tweets that you are sending out. So we thought we just wanted to reach out and invite you to come forth here at the club and talk about some of the hot takes that you have, because I think it's worthwhile for the community to get a little alpha there. So this is a bit different, Curious. And what we like to do in the spaces like this is just to have a little bit of a personal touch to begin with and then dive into what you're working on, basically. In your case, obviously, this is mainly about you and your work at the Atom Accelerator. People come from all walks of life in crypto and Cosmos. So what's your story, Curious? How did you end up here at the Cosmos Club today?
Oh, yeah, it's a long story. Well, let's start back with crypto. I've been in crypto since 2017. My current business partner actually introduced me to it. And I come from a medical background, actually. So it's funny, like a medical person ended up in crypto and being obsessed with tech and finance. But back then...
That's a new one for me.
Yeah, so, you know, I learned about crypto, and back then it was a bull cycle and you buy random coins based on white papers and everything was going up. So I didn't know much about it, right? So I was buying Litecoin, Cardano, and all of them. And from there, you know, I was doing well, and 2018 came and everything plummeted. So me having a big ego back then, I'm like, well, you know, why did I lose so much money? This isn't fair. You know, I got to look into it. So I kind of followed the market, followed the space for years until DeFi season kicked in. And then in 2021, my business partner approached me. He's like, hey, are you still doing crypto? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it. Let's start a little educational program. So we run something called Blockchain Insight Group. It's basically a accelerator program for individuals that want to learn about the space, that don't want to spend time in Twitter and social media is getting rugged, and have like a full educational course. And then during my research, I discovered Cosmos. I discovered Cosmos in 2020, but back then I was more into Icon. And I realized that, you know, Icon wasn't really delivering, and Cosmos had like a similar touch in terms of, you know, validators and governance, and then I just became obsessed from there. And then when IBC launched in 21 and Osmosis, everything was history. I was totally obsessed with the ecosystem and the visions, and floated along with Terra. And I've been really just following up with the ecosystem. It was one of the first ones that kind of reflected on me beyond just an investment opportunity, but more of like the potential the technology has. And what it can bring in terms of like solving real world problems, you know, having like a tech stack where you can develop your own chain for specific purposes, potentially bring in, you know, enterprises to come on board, but also the governance and the community aspect. I've never you know, been involved with such a political government. And I know people like to complain about drama per second, but I see it as a, you know, something bullish, says that community is still interested in the vision of Cosmos, and we just have different thoughts on where we want it to head.
Beautiful, man. I had not guessed that your background is within medicine. Are you still practicing medicine, by the way, or you're full on crypto at this point?
Yeah, so I would like to transition to full crypto, although I've taken a backseat on a lot of clinical aspects to focus on AA DAO. I'm still clinically involved in terms of doing research in various aspects, primarily right now in oncology and hematology. I kind of keep this part of me not a secret, but just like not really mention it because it doesn't really make sense for crypto aspect. But I can tell you that, you know, researching on the clinical aspect has definitely helped me research crypto in general and give a broader understanding of it. So I'll kind of use those skills to research this industry.
I can imagine. What was the deciding factor, by the way, for you sort of getting convinced around Cosmos and the tech? You mentioned IBC. That's what a lot of people tell me when I ask that question, that was really the deciding factor for them to dive into Cosmos, the whole interoperability approach that that Cosmos has. Was that also the case for you, or was it something else?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of everything. IBC was definitely one of it, you know, in a time where we had, you know, subpar bridges, and even to this day we still do. That was one of the first things that didn't feel like a bridge, but you were natively communicating chain to chain. But beyond that, it was the decentralization aspect of Cosmos vision in general, meaning that, you know, in 21 we saw Solana, we saw Avalanche, we saw many layer ones being propped up by VCs, and Cosmos felt much more organic in growth. And I guess you can kind of contribute that to it not pumping as much in terms of the Atom token. But at the same time, you know, that part felt more crypto ethos to me than those, you know, VC-like companies that start chains, at least at that time. So that's what really drew me in. It felt like there was much more community involvement, much more organic community involvement and growth and development.
I agree 100%. Let's dive into some of the work that you're doing, which is obviously super relevant for people interested in Cosmos, particularly your work with the Atom Accelerator. You're overseeing Atom Accelerator. Talk to us about maybe first what Atom Accelerator is doing for those who don't know, and then let's dive into a little bit of what you're doing also there to accelerate the Atom and Cosmos community.
Yeah. So I was fortunate to have a position in Atom Accelerator. So Atom Accelerator DAO is the first sub DAO in Cosmos, and we are primarily focused on distributing grants to teams that want to build to provide value to Cosmos, whether it's directly or indirectly. So that means whether you're building a protocol, if it's marketing, if it's education, if it's business development, right? So we have a list of categories that we focus on, and my role as oversight, it's a busy role, I can tell you, but I'm basically involved with every single team that gets approved a grant, and are basically in talk with them every day now, because as more batches come on board, I have more to manage. So basically I'm involved in the team's progress and then the roadmap on the milestones they achieve. How far are they? Do they need help with anything? Are they stuck with anything? What's next for the team? So it's just more of me being part of every grant that gets accepted and following along their journey in the roadmap and making sure everything is going smoothly. Obviously there's been, you know, some road speed bumps in the way, but for a first experience in this ecosystem, I'm kind of blessed to be involved with so many teams. It's definitely expanded the networking effect and gave me a better vision of what this ecosystem is doing and the direction it's heading.
It's very exciting, and it speaks to how decentralized Cosmos really is, with all these DAOs and sub DAOs supporting teams that are interested in building in Cosmos. It's also one of the big reasons why I decided to dive headfirst into Cosmos, because I could see how, you know, they didn't have for better and worse, of course, but they didn't have like the central organization that just decided on everything. I think there's been a lot of projects, a lot of chains out there that's tried to do that, some with a relatively big success, but I just don't see how that fits into the decentralization blockchain narrative, to be quite honest. So that's actually what got me quite excited about Cosmos. It's set up, the organizational part, where you had a very decentralized approach to building and organizing people around this technology, which seems surprising to some people. Like, how can you say that? Like, there's too much drama being born out of this decentralized approach that Cosmos has to his organization. But I really think it's going to be a deciding factor to why Atom and Cosmos is going to be relevant for many, many, many years to come. Would you agree with that, or do you think I'm on the wrong track here?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the inherent nature of Cosmos being kind of this democratic ecosystem definitely has its challenges in terms of coordinating. For me, you know, and this is just my personal take, but I like to see Cosmos more as a, you know, similar governance to US in terms of like a democratic republic, in terms of we elect sub-DAOs to have more alignment and more coordination to develop and continue progressing this ecosystem, right? Whether it's in tech development, whether it's in tokenomics, whether it's business, and et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I was, you know, like, I've been happy to be part of AADAO, because it felt like the first step to heading towards that route in governance. So yeah, look, it's democracy in Cosmos is chaotic, but it's beautiful at the same time.
Exactly. Like, typically, beautiful things are born out of chaos. That's how the universe operates in general, it seems. But let's talk a little bit about Atom. Obviously, a lot of people are interested, both now with the newfound place in the Cosmos for the Cosmos Hub, and hence the native token Atom, but also in general, like, people are discussing Atom endlessly in the ecosystem. And you have some pretty hot takes, I think, on Twitter, at least, I'm sure other places as well. One of which that I'm going to pull out here, one of your tweets from the 7th of September, is that Atom is the euro of Cosmos, independent sovereign nations transacting with one common currency. ETH is the USD of Ethereum. And then IBC is the universal language in Cosmos, soon to be everywhere. Think of it as on-chain English. That's something that really resonated, I think, with me. And then you go on another tweet the day after, saying that Atom is the interchain of money. It's going to be the currency that we use for the interchain. So I'm going to stop there and then just let you sort of unpack what you mean by Atom being the interchain money, and how Atom is like the euro of Cosmos.
Yes, you know, that was a I've got some messages that were, you know, both positive and negative to that, but I think you know, I should have done a better way of elaborating what I meant by that. But when I say the euro, I don't mean as in comparing it to the euro currency, but in just of how it operates, where you have it used in many independent sovereign chains, just like you have the euro used in many independent sovereign nations. They're all part of the, you know, the Euro nation aspect of them, where, you know, there's an alliance there. And you could say the same thing for IBC, right? So that's really what I meant for Atom being the euro. And ETH, you know, in comparison, seems like the USD, because with Ethereum, you have its states, which are layer twos, but ultimately they rely on the security of Ethereum, aka the security of the United States. So that's all the comparison that I meant to portray there. And it just, you know, for looking at it from a normie's perspective that tries to understand Cosmos, which is such a complex ecosystem, that's really like an analogy that I wanted to provide there. So that way one day if people can read it, they're like, aha, okay, this kind of makes sense of how it operates. But in terms of interchain money, like, that's a more broader explanation. Well, we can go back to since the dawn of IBC, and even though Atom has really not been pushed in a roadmap to, you know, attain value. It has been widely adopted as the most popular token in IBC. And this has been organic, right? There hasn't been any incentive to use that other than what Osmosis, you know, initially kickstarted. Through that, we've seen that it's been adopted. And now we realize that, well, you know, if we don't change things, it will start to lose its popularity and market cap and thus security. So the way I see it is it needs to be improved in any way it can to maintain that interchain money status. And for me, I already think it is. It's just more of improving it, right? So we have it's basically a medium of exchange token in IBC, as I said. When Stride went live, it became the dominant liquid staking derivative token in our IBC. You know, prior to the, you know, Terra used to be the largest Cosmos chain prior to the collapse. Now we're back to, you know, Atom in terms of the IBC ecosystem. And it's been the liquidity bootstrap token of IBC. We've used Atom within various exchanges to you know, bootstrap liquidity. It's not just on Osmosis, but other Cosmos-based AMMs and DEXs. It's birthed some of the most successful chains in IBC, right? Osmosis sprouted from there. Juno, which at an all-time high was, I think, over $1 billion in valuation, sprouted for there. Neutron just launched as a consumer chain, right? So it's a combination of everything, and it becomes the largest, and currently is the largest security provider of IBC. So now it's just more of, we have that interchain money, but now let's evolve it and create it far more efficient and trusted money in the interchain, right? So what steps are we looking at? Well, you know, from Atom Accelerated DAO, we're just trying to fund grants that, you know, align with that vision. And for example, like utilizing Atom as primary gas token. So we're trying to work with Mystic Labs and Leap, which are two wallet providers in Cosmos, to have a, you know, a way to figure out to enable, you know, Atom as a default gas token. Obviously, the interchain is free to choose whatever token they want, but just more of in terms of simplistic user interface purposes, use Atom as one of the default tokens. This way, it makes the whole IBC ecosystem feel more composable. You don't need to go swap a token from chain to chain to try to figure out how to do DeFi on that chain when you can kind of do everything within one interface.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're trying to improve the tokenomics of it, as you've seen, you know, three different discussions from the three different teams already. Effort Capital from Blockwards posted on monetary policy. We saw Noam from Binary Builders talk about Atom Alignment Treasury, and Chris Berg talk about the interchain governance. So we're trying to improve basically all aspects of Cosmos Hub so it can be much more sound in its tokenomics, much more sound in its roadmap, and much more utilized as a token for the ecosystem, essentially. So everybody has different opinions for it, but, you know, for me, like, I would just like to see it evolve and be utilized and have that confidence restored back into the token.
Just for anyone who hasn't been paying attention too much to the Atom proposals or changes to the Atom token, what do you see as the main takeaways for the proposals? Obviously, it's proposals. Nothing has been decided through yet. But one topic, for example, that's been discussed a lot when it comes to Atom tokenomics is the inflation rate, where people want to limit that,
yeah.
Potentially even have a burn mechanism. But what other parts of the tokenomics do you see as being heavily discussed around Atom?
Yeah, so, you know, besides the inflation rate, which I wouldn't really say that they want to introduce a burn mechanism, rather just a way to decrease inflation where it can hopefully within a year or two be compensated by, you know, tokens in the Atom economic zone. So if meaning reduce the inflation of Atom, but you get staking rewards that should yield roughly the same percentage, just with less token inflation. So I think that's something to look forward to. Obviously, you know, these are just ideas and discussions that are brought forth. But another one I really enjoyed was Noam's Atom Alignment Treasury, where, you know, we utilize the treasuries to acquire other tokens in the interchain and the Atom Economic Zone, and have a kind of a balanced portfolio of them, where, you know, in bear markets we acquire set tokens, and then in bull markets we sell and keep like a stable treasury for it. So it's improving the efficiency of our community pool and treasury, so we can be a sustainable ecosystem. And then, you know, another thing is this discussing, you know, the onboarding of more consumer chains, as in what is the cost effective method of it? You know, at what point does a validator decide not to do it? And so it's all, you know, and another thing is really just the evolution of sub-DAOs and discussing the interchain governance of the Atom Economic Zone. So it's not just the inflation that everybody's concerned about, but we have to look at it from a longer sustainable period. And a lot of this can also be reflected on, you know, what MakerDAO is doing with their sub DAOs and trying to figure out the direction for Maker token by introducing other tokens on their protocol, like Spark protocol, for example. So there's a lot of synergy there. Yeah.
Definitely, man. Definitely. And Noam is great. That's definitely someone we would like to have on from Binary. He has a really, really good takes, I think, on both Atom, but many other things in the Cosmos ecosystem. How do you see the Cosmos Hub play into all this? You mentioned a few times the Cosmos Hub, but yeah, so something that a lot of people are also discussing around tokenomics, of course, so limiting the inflation rate, but then you will get through the security elements by implementing consumer chains, branding security from the Cosmos Hub. You will be getting rewards from those chains, so Neutron, Stride, etc. So sure, the rewards go down in Atom because inflation is lower, but you get more rewards in a sense from all these different chains, consumer chains, branding security from the Cosmos Hub. So who knows how it balances out, but it's not like it's a complete loss in passive income that a lot of people is not afraid about, but they don't want to lose out on this juicy APR in by staking Atom. But yeah, back to the question. So how do you see Cosmos Hub fit into all this, Curious?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, for once I see like a truly optimistic approach to Cosmos Hub, where we're seeing, you know, many teams be involved in handling and trying to tackle every problem that Atom has had. So you know, when it comes to staking rewards, look, it depends. As an industry in crypto, everybody's obsessed with high yield and staking rewards, but nobody's really focused on the sustainability. So do you want to have high yield for yourself when those tokens, or should you want to grow the treasury of the Atom Economic Zone or the community pool and have a longer sustainable ecosystem where it can sprout more development, onboard more chains, and ultimately become more valuable? So like it really depends on how the community wants to take the course of it. You know, at one hand, if you get more staking rewards, that might incentivize people to buy the token and stake it. But at the other hand, if you have a more larger community pool and treasury, then that might also increase the inherent value of Atom as a token to, you know, a I guess I could say a more investor mindset for it. So, you know, when you're looking at traditional finance, what do people look at for businesses, right? They look at their treasury, their revenue, their growth rate, all of that, those aspects that crypto people don't really take in consideration here. So obviously it's still early, but I would like to see Cosmos Hub advance towards a more business approach while still maintaining neutrality in terms of the community deciding the direction of it. So sustainability is my main important factor in the utilization of token. If the token gets more utilized, then it becomes more available to more retail institutions. And if it becomes more sustainable in the ecosystem, then there's going to be more growth through that.
Beautiful. Let's talk a little bit about other ecosystems as well, because there's been a great episode, I think, on Bankless, talking about the three main ecosystems or ways to approach blockchains and building blockchains and applications, of course, on chain. And that is one, the Ethereum approach with their, of course, mainnet Ethereum, and then layer twos, states, as you mentioned, Curious, which are becoming more and more sovereign, perhaps, over time. Then there's the Solana approach, much more centralized. Throughput is all-time high, if you will. There's a lot of throughput and scalability embedded into having these centralization elements, both in how the Solana protocol evolves, but also in terms of validators. It costs God knows how much to run a validator on Solana, and the end result is, of course, very, very few people running crazy high throughput server farms and data centers. And then there's the Cosmos approach that we all perhaps know and love. But yeah, you had a few hot takes on this also, which we took note of. So yeah, what do you think about these three ways of approaching blockchain development, and how do you see this play out, perhaps?
Yeah, so you know, like my thesis kind of changes depending on how we're heading and the direction that we're heading on these ecosystems. But I said that, you know, I've been saying it for like since the beginning of the year and since Solana had its downfall. But Solana has changed my perspective. Ever since the FTX crash, I observed to see how whether this ecosystem would survive, how the community would react, and if liquidity and development will ever return. And we got everything happening in terms of, you know, more teams onboarding and developing on Solana, a stronger community and more alignments. And, you know, even Anatoly, he's, you know, I'm not really a fan of having a leader for a blockchain, but he's shown a lot of charisma in terms of, you know, supporting the space and being hopeful for this ecosystem. So Solana, to me, it is really like the main layer one settlement network in terms of scalability and composability, because it's, you know, in today's blockchain standards, it's fast enough to meet all the demands, because we don't have that many users in this space. Obviously, a lot of people can say, you know, it's a lot more centralized, but that's also relative to what metrics you want to use for centralization, because on the Nakamoto coefficient, I believe it's like over 30, which is like one of the most decentralized chains. And with Ethereum transitioning to proof of stake, it's actually a lot less decentralized than Solana on various metrics. So Ethereum, you know, it's the main settlement network due to its economic security and size and market cap. And since it's so slow on the layer one, it has to scale. And now layer twos it went to layer twos. It tried to do dank sharding, or sorry, it tried to do regular sharding, but, you know, they figured that layer two rollups were far more scalable and more of a free market approach. Now that's good, but the problem is that, at least my fear is that layer twos can become large enough at some point where they want to detach and gain their own MEV and not pay Ethereum for security. And then that abstracts away a lot of activity from the mainnet here. And we're seeing it now already as in Ethereum for the first time and since its pre-OS transition became inflationary again. Now, it's not really something to be a concern of at the moment, but it just kind of gives you a perspective of what may happen due to the roadmap that it chose. Solana doesn't have to do that, so that's why I'm more bullish on it, because as a layer one, there really isn't any competitor that is as close to having such a strong community and such a a developer mindset and interest in this ecosystem. And then obviously Cosmos as the third one or the first one, depending on how you want to number it. So Ethereum scales via layer twos. Solana is fast enough to be its own layer one, and Cosmos scales via app chains by maintaining their sovereignty. So those are really the three choices or three main choices that you have that are the most relevant in this ecosystem. So you can, formulate a hypothesis on this in terms of where the market is heading. I think the market is likely going to choose between any of these three choices, depending on what they want to build and what they want to leverage. So, and then obviously we're seeing stuff such as modular approaches where Celestia, Eclipse, and others can, have a mix of these chains and use one for data ability, one for execution and settlement, and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, to summarize, really, like I've said, there's really three main ecosystems to focus on: Ethereum and its layer twos, Solana, and Cosmos with IBC and app chains.
And it's interesting to see how these ecosystems start to look more and more like, in particular, Cosmos and Ethereum. I think it's sometimes it's hard to see the difference if you are a newbie, at least on the approaches. I mean, we call it different things, app chains and layer twos and all that, but they start to operate more and more similarly. And a good example of that, I think, is Optimism, having these optimistic rollups with, for example, OPBNB. That seems a heck of a lot like, and Base, of course, from Coinbase, it seems a hell of a lot like an app chain from Cosmos. So yeah, it's interesting to see how these start to the same ideas start to pop up in different ecosystems. Do you see that convergence also in the years to come, or do you think some people are going to branch out or come up with the ideas that are just not going to fly, for example, in one ecosystem, but it's going to fly in another?
Yeah, this is it's funny because last year I tweeted something similar in terms of I could see a vision where a lot of these centralized exchanges have no choice but to move on chain and build their own chains. But I envisioned Coinbase starting a Cosmos app chain, but unfortunately they're more aligned towards the Optimism super chain thesis. And this part also kind of irritates me, because that's one thing that we've been missing in Cosmos that we're finally getting is business development, because we have such a decentralized and fragmented ecosystem that it's hard to align things together to get interest for builders to come until develop sub DAOs and you have developers working together, coming together to make things happen, right? Ethereum is more or less heading towards the Cosmos vision, and it feels like Cosmos innovates and Ethereum adapts, right? Like you said, Osmosis with the super chain thesis and having Optimism with the OP SDK stack, and now we even Eigenlayer kind of resembling the interchain security in a way. And then we also see something like Synapse now try to become like the IBC of layer twos in a way. So they call it Synterchain, right? It's like, well, Cosmos has Interchain. We've been calling the Interchain for years now. So maybe it's a compliment, right? Imitation is the best form of flattery. But you can't deny that they also have a larger user base, much more liquidity. And potentially that may be because they are leveraging Ethereum and the security of it and the reputation of it, versus in Cosmos, you kind of have to like leverage what you already have in a much smaller ecosystem. So while they might, get a head start in that, ultimately we have such a large community that has yet to come to crypto. So it's up to us on how we want to bring them aboard. And I think Cosmos has better user interface, like Osmosis back in the day was much more ahead of its time than any DeFi protocol on how to use it. And I used Osmosis as an example when I used to teach my students in terms of like having their first step in DeFi, because it was so easy to use. So I want Cosmos to focus more on like the ease of use of onboarding people where it doesn't feel like you're doing chain to chain, but more of just a app centric method of onboarding. I kind of forgot what the original question is, but I think I do see the same alignment as you were saying for that.
I just wanted to jump in terms of your disappointment in base. I completely agree. I would have loved to see also them deploying an app chain. But that's something that I started to think more and more about, especially actually when Maker came out, funny enough, and said that they would build, was it their governance module or something like that, on Solana, which was completely left field for me. Like, why? That they're so embedded into the Ethereum ecosystem. Why all of a sudden Solana? And if not something in Ethereum, why not Cosmos? But what I started to think more and more about, especially after Maker made that announcement, is that, okay, so we're focused on app chains in Cosmos. There's two words in that, right? There's app and chains. Maybe we're too focused on having chains being built. Layer twos, for example, they're all chains and ecosystems with Base and OPBNB and all that. Maybe we should just focus more on the app part. For example, DYDX, one of the most successful dApps on Ethereum, moving over to Cosmos. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before big dApps, other big dApps in Ethereum, perhaps not Maker then in this case, but Aave, Compound, Uniswap, all these guys. I'm sure there's some people in there that's thinking about how can we at some point deploy an app chain using Cosmos, just like DYDX and other teams. So maybe that's going to be where Cosmos is going to really hit mainstream. Do you agree with that, or is it just me who's thinking out loud here?
No, I tend to agree. Look, it all depends on what they need to leverage the tech for, right? So for DYDX, they wanted to have custom order books, execution, and they basically can, Cosmos allowed them to build everything from scratch, and it didn't have the same limitations that layer twos on Ethereum did, and especially on something like Starkware. Look, in terms of the dApp focus, the cool thing about Cosmos is that you can start as a simple Cosm Wasm contract, smart contract dApp. If you're large enough to grow a user base, you may want to try to onboard via a interchain security, and be part of the Atom economic zone. And then if you are large enough to completely detach from it, you can be your own separate chain like DYDX. So I think in Atom economic zone, it plays like a middle layer to all of this. But in terms of the blue chips on Ethereum side, in terms of Aave, Maker, right? I can see why Maker would want to use like a Solana fork chain. And it may be because of its SVM, the Solana virtual machine execution layer. Maybe it could be a combination of, depending on how large the protocol is, they want to build their own chain. But if they want to build their own chain, either they can build their full stack Cosmos chain or configure and pick bits and pieces like a modular approach. So I think it's going to be a mixture of both. And Cosmos will play a role into that by mostly on the IBC and Cosmos SDK stack, from my understanding, at least from now.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, that's for sure. What we can all do is just push the ecosystem forward, the Cosmos ecosystem, push the tech forward, make sure, as you say also, business development is done properly. So teams out there who is not familiar with Cosmos, they know about it and they see all the benefits with Cosmos. So it's not something that is way down their agenda or to-do list, but actually something they take seriously, because there is a lot there. There's a lot. Basically, Cosmos and Atom, Cosmos Tech, we have a head start. I mean, all the things that Ethereum is talking about and doing is something typically that Cosmos has gotten right from the beginning, right? I mean, take the consensus mechanism, moving, Ethereum with the merge, they move from proof of work to proof of stake. We got that right from the beginning. Interchain with IBC and Cosmos Hub, etc. We got a lot of these things right from the beginning, and now Ethereum is starting to wake up. So yeah, let's make sure we take advantage of that head start that the Cosmos has. Of course, we don't have the same liquidity volume, etc., that Ethereum has, and that is why business development, I think, as you also say, Curious, is quite critical for Cosmos to succeed and stay relevant in the years to come. Let me switch the topic a little bit before we close this thing off, Curious. And that is Frantech, which is all the craze right now. Everybody is getting excited about Frantech and social fi and all these different things. You've been also tweeting about it a bit. So what do you think about Frantech? Is it something, is it a fad? Is it something that's going to be relevant in the future? Is it something that's going to be built on Cosmos even in the future? What do you think about Frantech and this whole social fi movement that we see right now?
Yeah, look, I like being early into a lot of these projects just to try to see if, you know, maybe there's a short-term narrative trade for it. But Frantech is kind of like that first breakthrough where it's gained some outer crypto adoption from normies, such as in the gaming system when FaZe Clan started tweeting about it. But it's basically a decentralized social network where you can invest in your friend's keys. You can own a share of someone. Sorry, SEC, don't come at me. They call it keys now, but yeah. Look, it's a way to have an exclusive chat with somebody. And look, do I think that this is like, you know, the end all for social platforms? Of course not. I think it just, they kind of got the formula right in terms of launching on where the liquidity is abundant, which is base chain. Trying to gain more recognition from people outside of crypto. And having some like Ponzi-nomic aspect of it in terms of trading and speculating on shares. So that's, you know, a good recipe for gaining traction. I don't know if it's a good recipe for sustainability, though, because it, in a way, it resembles a lot of the Olympus DAO mechanism with these like 3-3. You know, you have people messaging me on DMs like, hey, man, can you buy my share and I buy yours so you can, you know, we both raise it stuff up, but at some point, you know, the liquidity tops out and then it's down only. So, you know, at its current method, like, I don't think this is sustainable. I think that a lot of the hype has been around trading, speculating on the keys because the market has been extremely boring. There's really not much going on in terms of altcoins, right? Most of the altcoins are, you know, slowly losing market share versus now. The only opportunity is to trade keys rather than trading meme coins. And then, you know, the sustainability of Frantech has really just been from airdrop speculations, right? When we have a big VC enter in, people assume that at some point they're going to airdrop the tokens and they're doing everything they can to farm them and qualify for the maximum amount. So while Frantech isn't, you know, the end goal for, you know, social, decentralized social networks, it definitely at least opened eyes in terms of like how we can achieve adoption and gain people user base on these decentralized applications. So the value in that is certainly there. So I do think there's going to be, you know, I don't know whether it's Frantech improving or there's other social networks such as Farcaster, maybe Lens Protocol to overtake it next. But yeah, the trading aspect certainly helped gain momentum.
And how could you see that play out? Let's play with the idea. Obviously, there's no wrong answers here because nobody knows how it's going to play out. But is it going to be like where you can invest in keys or shares in a, let's say, a Twitter account or X account? Of course, this probably not going to be adopted with X anytime soon. Who knows, of course, with Elon Musk. But let's just say you can invest, buy a share or key into an account, and you get alpha, like exclusive alpha, exclusive DMs, direct messages. Is that how you could see this play out, or how would you see the SocialFi, the ultimate killer app in SocialFi, getting executed?
I see. Well, I think, you know, this can be definitely be an option. like I see it more like what Twitter is doing, but minus the bots having verified accounts through on-chain wallets and having like this Frentech thing be an option to pay to get alpha if they wanted to, but not in terms of trading somebody's keys, because then you're really the person that is getting the fees is the main account, and they're not really incentivized to provide you any value if you're just going to trade their keys back and forth, right? Their goal is to create drama, controversy, and gain, you know, as much momentum and social presence as possible without providing you any value. As we see on Twitter, right, we see many people get thousands of likes because they posted something controversial, but in reality, they're really just doing that to farm likes. And I don't want to see that on chain, because then it's just more of profit alignment and not really like value alignment. So while an aspect of Frentech can remain in terms of the exclusivity and paying, it shouldn't be paying and the value of your key goes up as you pay, rather just, you know, attributing to like a monthly subscription service aspect to it. And hopefully, you know, eliminating bots now with you know, being on chain. That's one thing that I always hated about Twitter. And I thought Elon Musk coming into the space would, you know, do something about it. But in fact, it feels like they've gotten worse for it. You put MetaMask, you're going to get 1,000 bots messaging you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a harder problem, I think, than Elon and many others, I'm sure, initially anticipated. It's crazy, man. As you say, putting anything like MetaMask or Ethereum or even Cosmos sometimes for us just gets the bots activated, and there's a bot storm coming at you. Curious, this has been awesome. I'm so glad that you made time for us. So thank you for that. Is there anything you want to get off your chest before we close this thing off?
No, thank you for having me. I don't know if I want to get anything on my chest, but just don't let the bear market conditions scare you away. Look at what's being built. Look at the value that's in an ecosystem. Look at the roadmap. Look at all the teams that are interested, and then figure out whether you still want to be committed and whatnot. Because I have seen a lot of cosmonauts lose faith, but you know, when you look at everything that's happening all right now, it's going to be reflected much more positively in the bull market to come. So yeah, stay with Cosmos. Keep learning and keep supporting, and then just do your part in educating people about this ecosystem, because honestly, I think it's the best ecosystem we have in crypto today.
Gradually, then suddenly. And the people that stick around in this bear market, I think they're going to get heavily rewarded for it and thank themselves in a few years. But yeah, Curious, again, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure this is not the last time that we speak, either on air like this or off air. But yeah, continue what you're doing, man. And thank you so much for being part of the Cosmos ecosystem. We need people like you. So yeah, thank you, Curious.
Thanks, man. And anybody wants to come, if anybody's going to Cosmoverse, come say hi to me. I'll be there along with Atom Accelerator DAO.
Beautiful. All right, man. See you.
There's this principle in like Taoism. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up the bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, and Beto and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features. More critical thinking, less knee-jerk. More evolution, less shit. Coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rap fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror Spaces.